Welcome all dreamers and sake drinkers to D&D and Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We're a group of seasoned folks who play through published adventures and review them in a post-mortem. Stay tuned as we will also be inviting special guest PCs from other podcasts, content creators, and many other nerd celebrities out there. Hey there, this is Dungeon Meister Paul, also known as StuntMonkeyZ on Twitter. In this one-shot adventure, we'll be playing through Shore of Dreams by Florian Emmerich and JVC Perry. This is a level 5-7 adventure, and it's available at DM's Guild. Our special guest for this one-shot is the up-and-rising star, Kayla Lopez. She's an extremely talented individual who recently DM'd for the very first time. Be sure to follow Kayla on Twitter. Now, find yourself a seat, get your drink orders in, and be prepared to get rocked as we listen to Shore of Dreams by Florian Emmerich and JVC Perry. Oh, Kayla, how are you?
I'm good. Enjoying my day off. How are you?
I'm enjoying my Monday, actually. We just finished eating brisket at my job.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Awesome.
Totally. Hi.
Hello.
Kayla, can you tell us a little bit about what you do as far as D&D goes?
I'm an actor. That's my career, is in performing. So I very much love, you know, the role play aspect of D&D. Mm-hmm. I'm not so much into the murder hobo. Like, obviously, you know, I've been a gamer all my life, so I love the action part of the game as well. But I just love doing new characters every time, trying something new. So yeah, that's how D&D goes for me.
Well, you're gonna hate our group then. Totally.
We're about as frustrating as Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I love that show, so.
But our regular cast can tend to get carried away and try to take over the show.
Yeah, one-upmanship, I just believe is the term.
Yeah.
Ah.
And even then, it's only Jake who really does. Oh, hey, Jake, I didn't see you were on, man. How's it going?
It's only Jake that does what?
Red-handed.
And the guy who's always caught with his hand in his pants, Jake.
Wait, what? Oh, hold on.
I mean...
Maybe you guys one day could play the one shot that I'm actually going to be creating for my birthday later this year.
Yes, please do. Let us have it.
That would be fun, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely play.
I already have the name and the concept. I have some, like, homebrew creatures and bosses and stuff like that, like, all saved on my computer. I just have to, like, actually sit down and do my homework. But it's going to be called The Nightmare of Cute.
Awesome.
That sounds something, like, I would really want to play then.
Yeah, it sounds like something we would play for sure.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's a really awesome bar that's called Cloak and Blaster. The menu actually looks kind of like the Player's Handbook.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of nerdy cocktails and craft beers and food.
Oh, that sounds so good.
But you can also, like, rent a table and you can play any tabletop game that you want. That's what they specialize in. So that's what I wanted to do for my birthday this year, is like create my campaign, be the DM, have people who play D&D, people who don't play D&D, just come and do this one shot.
Yeah. You know what? If you want, you can even come on our show and you can DM on our show.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'd love to do that. I would love to do that, because then that would let me play for once.
It's going to be a ridiculous campaign. Like, it's supposed to be ridiculous. I'll preface it in that way. I mean, it's called The Nightmare of Cute. So essentially, without spoilers, anything that you think is cute, that looks adorable, is actually evil. And all things that are typically evil are actually very friendly and trying to help you.
I'm home.
I really want to play that now.
Yeah. Well, as soon as my birthday's in May, so as soon as I
get my birthday, done, can we do it on my birthday?
Yeah. When's your birthday?
May 21st.
I don't know about you, but I celebrate my birthday all month long. So, which is why this year, because I just got into D&D within the last year and I fell in love with it so much. So I was like, well, what's the best way for me to celebrate my birthday this year? And I was like, I got to DM the most ridiculous campaign ever.
I'd rather do that for my birthday. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Yes. Do it. Yes.
Done deal. All right. I have it recorded. It's done. We'll put that in the can too.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Verbal contract is official.
And with that, let's go ahead and go around the... Oh, hold on a second. Hold on before I forget. Kayla, so you mentioned you're an actor. You said you also sing?
I do.
Now she has to perform her bard skills.
Oh, God. Well, she's... Winky is not the best at being a bard. Like, she has high performance, but, like, it's more... how do I put it? It's more like she's just so cute and, like, charming that you're like, yeah, she's good. She's all right. But she's not... she's not gonna,
like... Her name is Winky?
Opera singer.
Yes. Oh, my God! I love it!
So, basically, she's a J-pop star.
Yes!
Actually, I named her Winky after the house elf in Harry Potter.
Okay.
Because Winky in the house elf in Harry Potter has a drinking problem, and she gets very loopy and very silly, and I just thought it was like a cutesy little name for my Lightfoot halfling. That's
Tell me terrific. Her backup singers are Blinky and Bob.
Oh my God, yes. Yes! Fantastic. And their specialty is body rolls.
Oh my God, it's like the Ronettes, except for like Lord of the Rings style.
This is going to be fun. I can already tell. All right. And next up, let's go with Spook.
Hello. Oh, I'm just a little Lightfoot halfling monk. Kind of ran away from the monastery again. I'm just looking to create mischief. Yep. Mischief.
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 And is it Jaqib, is it?
It is Jaqib. And you'll have to forgive this one because common is a second language for this one. And I am a ranger and I'm very good with a bow. Oh, and I have panther, a big white panther, and its name is Lulu. I am Tabaxi.
Oh, goodness. Those are like the cutest adventurers I've ever had, I think. Two halflings and a tabaxi with a white panther.
I love that.
This is greatness. Holy cow. I don't know how many would keep a straight face, guys. Seriously.
I'm probably going to have to mute my mic a lot.
Yeah, same.
Okay, so we are going to be playing through The Shore of Dreams by Florian Emmerich and JVC Perry.
Ooh.
It is an adventure for 5th to 7th level characters. You are heading back from a previous adventure because y'all partied together, y'all adventure together, and you come across a small but idyllic island near Lantan, which seems a good place to go ashore and spend the night. While the shores of the island look nice, they look nice enough, even more appealing is the Shore of Dreams. You see this building. It's a two-story stone building filled with long tables and benches, a blazing fireplace, and a well-stocked bar. You just came across a tavern. A handful of villagers sit drinking sake and feasting on lavish seafood platters. In the back of the tavern is a decorated stage of carved bamboo. A beautifully made shamisen rests in the corner of the stage.
Spook goes to want to touch it, like he usually does with everything.
Winky goes to the bar. Hey, bartender, can I get your attention? Hello?
Yes. How may I help you?
What's this you guys are drinking?
Oh, the sake? Yeah, we have tons of it.
Sake. Okay. Can I have some, please?
Sure. And he pours out 6 little cups, as well as tacks on a huge pitcher of it onto a tray for you.
Oh, you're fancy, I see. Thank you kindly. And then Winky just, like, chugs it back. Ugh! I've never had that before. I kind of don't like it, but can I have another?
Sure. Sets up another tray with several more drinks and another pitcher.
Aw, thanks, sweet pea. Swings it again. All right, what are we doing here, friends? She, like, turns around and looks at her other adventurers. Just like, all right, what are we doing?
Is Spook able to touch that shamisen?
Yes.
He's petting it. He likes the color and he likes the texture.
Can I take a look at that?
Yes. Let's see, I'm trying to go through the notes here real quickly.
Because, you know, shamisen, she's a bard. It's an instrument, so she's going to want to see if she can play it.
All right, go for it. Let's go with performance.
All right. Where's my d20? Here she is. That's a 19.
Ooh, all right. So with a 19, you're very proficient with the shamisen. What would a Winky be singing with a shamisen?
Oh, gosh. I don't know why this came to my brain, but we're just going to go with it. Hotel California.
Actually fitting. I would love to hear that on a shamisen.
I literally have no idea. We're going with it.
Alrighty.
But she doesn't know all the lyrics. She just can play it well, but she just goes, California, like that. But everyone still loves it.
Yeah, with a 19, absolutely. Everyone starts, you know, swaying themselves back and forth with the beat.
And is entranced.
And I'll say this. While you're doing that, Winky, roll me a real quick perception check.
Okay. That's a 10.
Okay. With a 10, you notice, like, in the shadows of the back of the surrounding areas, just where the lanterns isn't reflecting a whole lot of water, you see some movement. Jakib, you roll me also. You know what? Let's go with perception check also.
Ooh, this one has a good perception check. Oh, well, apparently it's not good enough. I think Lulu got in the way because it's only an 11.
Okay, with an 11, Lulu inadvertently had pushed you in the right direction, and you notice three berserkers and one bandit captain moving rather quickly in those shadows. But because of the 19 performance, they all kind of stop what they're doing. You see like something flashy in their hands, like daggers. They listen to the music for a second, and all of a sudden they stash away the daggers, and whatever they were about to do, Winky just stopped that from happening.
You're welcome. She actually says that. As she finishes, she stands up and she bows, and she goes, "You're welcome. You're welcome. My pleasure."
So then everyone is enjoying the performance, and some people, or a lot of, pretty much everybody, with the exception of Jakib, no one else noticed what was about to go down. Something was really going to happen there, and y'all just avoided this entire encounter. Okay, so then, Winky, what do you do next?
Winky's a little cray-cray, and she's going to go, "Bartender, run round for everyone and everybody in here."
You hear everyone just blows up in applause and just celebrating the, you know, just everything about what you're doing there. They're astounded with you. And when you do that, people start whispers. Spook and Jakib, both of you can hear from where you are, talks about treasure. Talks about that there's some treasure by a captain. And, you know, apparently their crew, him and his crew, died at sea. There's a region somewhere, you know, not too far away, actually, that apparently might be holding all of his treasure there. And so you start looking around, the three of you, and you notice that there are quite a bit of other adventuring parties there as well. And again, some of the talks that you hear is more along the lines of Captain Jade Scale's treasure. At one point, everybody roll an investigation check.
7 for Spook.
Chimichanga, only a 7.
This one makes it because Tabaxi gets a 17.
Okay, with a 17, you can tell that they're talking about, the rumor has it that along the Mistiff of Chult is a great hoard of treasure. A lot of adventurers from all over the region have headed to Chult to try their luck. And you hear some of them whispering that, you know, well, we got to talk to the owner of the Shore of Dreams. She's going to know exactly where to look. Apparently she has the exact location. We have to find her. I don't know who she is. I don't know. And you hear others talking about, you know, this port is a good way to stock up before heading out to Mistcliff. And so y'all are hanging back a little bit. Winky, are you still playing or are you kind of pretty much done? You're going to sit back down with the rest of the party?
She's done, but she's hearing some of these whispers, right?
Yeah, you're hearing some, but not all that detail that Jakib heard.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which group of adventurers, is there a group of adventurers that's also in the tavern that maybe she can tell is having a really good time? Like they're the life of the party type of people?
Not necessarily. It seems like everybody here is trying to keep to themselves as much as possible. They're trying to hold on to whatever secrets they have specifically so they can be the ones to go out and find a treasure.
Is there someone who appears like to be the strongest in the room?
Yeah, you see several berserkers, bandits, you see piratey types of folks, you know, some like veteran guys. It's a good mix of strength versus arcana up in this piece.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well then, Winky will want to go towards, in her eyes, the most handsome one.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, sugar, what brings you here? How are you today?
Alrighty, roll performance.
I have lucky. I'm going to re-roll. Good Lord. That's a 13.
Ooh, with a 13, you see this big, burly Goliath
look down towards you. He begins to smile, and he's about to start talking to you when all of a sudden everybody hears the shamisen start to play.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody stares at the stage, and on stage is this female Triton. She has beautiful, light blue, almost jade-colored skin, this long, beautiful, straight red hair that's kind of waving, and she has on this dark pink on light pink with the floral patterned kimono.
Mm-hmm.
And she begins plucking away at the instrument, and everybody just stops whatever they're doing, and they're just locked in on this woman. You can tell right away that there's something about her that is just lures you in. She has that charisma about her. She's just this walking aura of awe. And everybody feels it. Everyone sees it with her bright blue skin. Like I said, her reddish, copperish hair.
Mm-hmm.
And all of y'all can see. You can even see a wakizashi tucked in through her little belt just outside of her kimono there. Everyone is just in awe. Again, everybody who was rowdy, everyone who's, you know, getting rambunctious or whatever, if at all, everyone just stops. And the only thing you hear are the plates and the drinks taken from tables, putting on tables, just the bar staff going back and forth.
Can Winky tell if it's like a spell that's happening or like a charm or something? Or is it purely like she's just so beautiful and like entrancing that we can't help but everybody be enamored by her?
Let's find out. Everybody do a wisdom saving throw.
God damn it. That's a 5. Yeah, Spook's pretty prone right there.
9. Oh, wait. Lucky. I keep forgetting that I have lucky. Much better. That's a 19.
Oh, wow.
And Jakeeb is known to be quite impulsive, so I got the 2.
Jakeeb sees a little laser dot on the floor and starts... No, I'm just kidding.
And so does Lulu, apparently.
Yeah, my goodness. And giant white tigers running around while everyone's like, oh.
Okay.
We inadvertently become part of the show.
Okay, so in that case, Winky, go ahead and roll a perception check.
Okay, 16.
All right, with a 16, you can definitely tell that there's some kind of spell component to her playing.
Mm-hmm.
With a 16, you also notice something with that perception check. You do notice that there's something peculiar about the food going around. You can almost smell it. It's a very faint smell.
Mm-hmm.
Winky, you know how to hustle people. You know how to...
Oh,
manipulate
yeah,
the
does.
Situation. You do not know how to manipulate the situation to your own advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you are familiar with are some poisons that would have the same effect, if not stronger, than alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're catching a whiff of in a lot of this food that's being served to people right now.
Okay.
You then see like 3 different plates of food being plopped down in front of the 3 of you as well.
Okay. So how close am I to my party members?
If y'all are on the same table, right?
I believe, yeah, I think Winky eventually made her way back over there.
And let's see, let's go with Spook and Jakeeb. Both of you roll me Constitution save throws.
I already did. I rolled a 19, so it's a total of 21.
Okay.
Ooh. Well, I was going to use Winky has telepathy.
Oh, damn.
So she was going to use telepathy to let her party members know that to not eat the food because it's poisoned.
I'm not even hungry.
Yeah, you just pushed the plate away from you, Spook.
I don't need it.
I can cook you something else later, sugar, but don't eat that.
I got energy to burn.
All right, and so then, let's see, Jakeeb, how'd you do?
This one got the 16.
Okay, you survived that one as well.
Make sure Lulu doesn't eat any either.
Oh, she'd be fine.
No, kitty, don't eat that.
Okay, I'm gonna roll for Lulu, and Lulu rolled a 1.
Oh, totally no,
kidding.
Lulu!
Totally kidding.
No!
This actually sounds about right.
I know, my dog does that. He's like, no, don't get it!
Winky also is going to just cast Dispel Magic.
Okay.
The whole bar. So anything, any charm or spell that's going on should be dispelled.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When you do that,
mm-hmm.
that's enough to make this woman stop playing.
Cool.
And she slowly starts looking around the room.
Mm-hmm.
and then makes eye contact with you and smiles.
Winky smiles right back. Hi there, sugar.
And she just winks at you, Winky. And
how dare she? That's Winky's namesake.
She then, you hear her blurt out in front of everybody, this one is for our most pleasing guests. Thank you for honoring our small island with your stay, and best of luck for the travels ahead. Then the Triton begins to play a ballad on her shamisen, which is unlike anybody has ever heard before. The notes are crisp and clean, each one reverberating around in your mind, and she begins to sing, and you once again find yourself being intensely drawn to this singer. Roll me another wisdom saving throw.
I was going to say, I'm like, I don't trust it. She's probably trying to, like, put us to sleep or something. Oh, God dang it. Winky rolled a nat one, even with Lucky.
Oh.
It's very sad.
And let's see, Spook and Jakib.
What were we rolling for again?
Wisdom saving throw again.
Wisdom saving. Okay, so yeah, it's a 16. I just wanted to make sure that's what I was calculating for.
Okay.
Well, you cannot fool Jakib twice because I got a net 20.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So now the tables have turned. Now as Jakib and Spook realize what's going on. And at this point, Winky, you start slowly wanting to get up and walk over to her up to the stage. And
both no! Spook,
but both Spook and Jakib just tell you, just sit your butt down right here. Do not go anywhere.
Don't you go anywhere. Don't go.
So pretty.
Just sit here. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Lulu, sit on the halfling.
So this ginormous white panther comes over and plops down on top of Winky.
And then Winky goes, oh my god, what is that song from Big Bang Theory? Soft kitty, soft kitty. I gotta
soft
look it up.
Kitty, warm kitty. Little ball of fur. God damn it.
Something kitty. See, again, she's gonna not know the lyrics. Whatever kitty, soft kitty. Purr, purr, purr. And she's just like petting Lulu. Like happily with the cat on top of her.
The entire place starts rumbling with the purrs of the tiger. Everyone's like, what is that? Is that a large card outside?
Yes.
So when that happens, you notice all these adventurers, they all start passing out one by one.
I knew it.
And everyone, with the exception of Winky, who has a giant animal on top of her. everyone else, you see the doors being closed, the windows being shut and locked. And again, you just see people starting to fall over, you know, topple over, whatever. And what do y'all want to do?
Not really sure.
Winky is going to, how far is this Triton lady from me? About 30 feet?
I'd probably put her closer to like 50, almost 60.
Okay. Then Winky's gonna try to get Lulu off of her so she can kind of walk towards her and kind of in a deceptive manner where she wants the Triton lady to think that Winky is under her spell still, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but are you gonna have to roll for strength to move Lulu?
Okay. Let's see how this goes. Winky rolled a 19.
Well, to be fair, Lulu has the annoying feature, and so any rolls against her has to be at disadvantage.
What?
I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
I was actually going to be real pissed, because I never roll off the strength.
All right, Winky, you're able to scooch your way out of Lulu's trunk of a body. Mm-hmm. And so what, you got to roll deception.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
Cool. 18.
With an 18, you're able to move up towards the performer. Mm-hmm. And as you're getting closer, she smiles again at you, winks, and then you see this ginormous puff of red smoke appear in front of her. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do?
Well, that throws off what she was going to do. But actually, no. I'm still going to do it, I think. Winky's going to cast Detect Thoughts on her.
Ooh, nice.
For the duration, you can read the thoughts of certain creatures. When you cast the spell, which lasts up to a minute, As your action will need to turn until the spell ends, you can focus your mind on any creature that you can see within 30 feet. If the creature you choose is an intelligence of 3 or lower, doesn't speak in a language the creature is unaffected, you learn the surface thoughts of the creature, what is most on its mind in that moment. As an action, you can either shift your attention to another creature's thoughts or attempt to probe deeper into the same creature's mind.
So you're just trying to get a sense of what exactly from her?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out surface thoughts, like what she's thinking, and perhaps I can figure out what her goal is here, like what she's trying to do.
Okay. Just on the surface, you can detect slaves.
Oh, hell no.
You can detect working party, and then immediately after that, you don't detect anything anymore.
Okay. I'm going to relay that information telepathically to my party.
Okay.
And then ask them through my telepathy if we should attack her.
Spook, Jackie.
I'm at a loss as to what to do. It's kind of a specialized character.
Yeah.
Jackie thinks he has just the thing that's going to help out with this.
Ooh. Get him, Jackie. Get him.
For starters, Jakib is going to draw his longbow, and then he is going to cast Ensnaring Strike.
All right.
And so, let me see. Oh, perfect. Whenever you hit a creature with a weapon attack before the spell lands, a writhing mass of thorny vines appears at the point of impact, and the target must succeed on a strength saving throw. This is nice.
Very nice.
Very nice.
And so I'm going to use my fancy little archery skills because I am good with these.
Dude, I swear, I want to rub the underside of your jaw just right below your mouth.
I'm more of a behind the ear kind of kitty.
Oh, okay.
No, anything below the chin, you're going to get smacked.
Yeah, my cat does that. He bites claws.
Oh, yeah. So we are going to look at the 19.
Ooh, with a 19, the whole place hears a loud thwip from your bow and can hear the reverberating sound of the arrow as it just cuts through the air, just and as it goes through that red cloud, you hit hard with a 19. The ensnaring strike goes clearly through the cloud and hits the wall behind it.
Spook pulls out his flute and he goes, woo!
I think Winky also is going to do True Strike on the Triton, see what the defenses are.
Okay, you do that, and you don't get anything back.
Oh, great. Fantastic. I love that for me.
Yeah, because the Triton is no longer there.
Oh, it's just this smoke?
Yep.
Great. Well, guys, what are we supposed to do now?
As soon as you say that, from behind you, the exit doors fly open, and in come a pair of veterans.
Oh, well, welcome to the party, boys.
Veterans of what? Being late?
I suppose so.
Both mercenaries, they're here to come get you guys.
Like, in a good way, in a bad way? That could go both ways.
Ooh, the strong silent type, I like it.
They both pull out long swords, and they start making your way towards you. Tell you what, there's a whole lot of adventure left on here, so I think what I'm gonna do is... Everybody roll a d20 real quick.
18.
Nat 20.
Whoa.
12.
12. Alrighty. Okay, so I'm going to put this on the rails real quick because I want to get us to the next part of the story. Let me see. Winky, you get a nat 20. Spook, 18. Jakib, you get a 12. Oh, correction. Jakib and Lulu, you both get a 12. And we're just going to keep that same order as we roll through this adventure.
Okay.
And both veterans got a 2. So here's what I'll say. This battle was over before it even started. I rolled a d6 and I got a 1. So this whole thing lasted one round. Winky, describe an action on how you took down one of these guys.
In one round, right?
Yeah.
She would have just cast Thunder Wave and laughing while she does so.
All right, let's get that audio. I want to hear her laugh.
Fool, Jeff.
All right. And so you blow them both back. Mm-hmm. Just right off of their feet, and they go flying back another 10 feet from there. They take on a hell of a lot of damage from the short, compacted scenario, the surroundings of the tavern there. All right, so Spook, Jakib, y'all finish off these two guys in one round. How do you do it?
Spook has like these little specialized darts he just got, and he just kind of throws them into their necks to kind of hit those pressure points and knocks him out.
Nice.
Just like
the five-finger death punch. What is it? All right, Jackie, what you got?
And so for the other one, you guys, like, I'm going to just call this the Parabellum Maneuver. And basically what this entails is I take my bow and I shoot the other one that was not being attacked by Spooky there. And I shoot the longsword out of its hand, and Lulu comes in for the second of a 1-2 punch and just lunges and bites into his throat.
Yikes. All right, I know not to mess with y'all. So then here's what transpires. With all that going on, and with Lulu feasting on veteran throat there, y'all are able to have the other one regain consciousness after tying them up. And so you question them, so he spills the beans on the entire Enterprise, and they point you towards the Temple of the Storm. You find out that the bard that was on stage, that's Pisca. I'll go with Pisca. It's P-I-S-C-A. I was going to go with Pisha, but I think I like Pisca better because it sounds more fishy and she's a Triton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pisca Alorsath. Pisca Alorsath. And you find out that she's overworked these guys. Their loyalty to her is broken. They tell you about Pisca and how she made up the pirate's treasure tale and that she enslaves any adventurers or explorers who come to investigate, with two of them still at the site. These poor folk are then dragged down to the half-buried temple to continue its excavation. And they tell you that Pisca is already on her way to the Temple of the Storm.
Where's that?
And they do one better. They actually get a map for you to get to the Temple of the Storm.
Oh, goody.
Thanks, Sugar.
You're welcome. You're not going to tell her that I told you, are you?
Oh, I don't know. I might if it's fun.
Tell her what?
Oh, gee, thanks. And then they book it out of there, not knowing.
Spook knows what to do. He's good at playing dumb.
And so he tells you that it's about 15 minutes outside of town. Once you get there, your trek around the edge of the island is cut short by a steep cliff covered in strangling vines. At the base of the cliff is a gaping opening with the damaged remains of an engraved archway marking the entrance of a temple or a shrine. So the way to get down there, you have to go down the side of this cliff that you're currently on.
All right, friends, let's go. I guess just follow this map.
Let's go find treasure.
I could use some treasure.
Me too. Let's go.
Okay, everybody roll an athletics check.
LOL. Oh my god. I used lucky and I rolled the same number. 7.
21 for Spook.
Jackie got the 19.
All right, so I heard 21, 19, and 17.
Just say yes.
Yes.
I'm getting some bad audio here. I heard 17.
Yep, I heard 17.
Okay, with that, everybody successfully goes down the side of the cliff with the greatest of ease. Who here has a 14 passive perception?
Technically, Lulu does. I'm serious.
Okay, so that's enough for Lulu to get your attention, Jakib. And she warns you about a hulking form half submerged in the brackish water.
I can't speak with animals, so this is doable.
There you go. And based on that knowledge, Jakib, you're a ranger, is that correct?
This is true.
You can tell that it's a Tempest Beast waiting for y'all down there.
Mm. Oh, fun.
But now that you're alerted to it, it's not able to surprise attack you. So you can move around it if you prefer.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I suggest that we are in a hurry. So yeah. Let's not deal with this.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I just want some shiny treasure.
Yeah, show us the way.
All right, so you avoid the Tempest Beast, which is like a dinosaur-like creature resembling a large crocodile with a shorter snout and longer legs. And they have a ridge of blue plates running down their backs and gaping maw containing rows of sharp teeth. And their proximity to the Temple of the Storm has imbued them in some elemental power, which the original inhabitants of the temple bred into the species. So, yeah, this guy is bad news, and you're able to maneuver around it rather carefully. All right, so we're going into the Temple of the Storm. First off, let me see, you're able to get through there. Although the exterior of the temple has fallen into the disrepair, the defaced engravings of merfolk and sharks are still visible around its entrance. Water laps at the entrance of the temple and large cluster of 12 freshwater mussels. Spook, you open up the mussels and you find pearls in each one, each worth about 15 gold.
He starts putting them in his little pouch that's on his little waistband.
And while you do that, let's see, Winky, roll me a religion check.
LOL again. 14.
ooh, meets it, beats it. You're examining the archway, and it reveals that it connects with the cult of the Crushing Wave. So I think that might be some information you'll need later.
All right.
So moving forward, you're walking into this dank cavern here. You come across the prisoner pen. Thick bamboo bars pen off a small alcove. Inside the alcove are a couple of sheepskin blankets, some hay, and a bucket. As your eyes adjust to the darkness, you notice there are two figures in the prison. Slowly, they approach.
Can Winky see them?
Yeah, all of y'all can see them.
Can we tell what they are yet?
You can tell one of them is a half-elf and the other one is a half-orc.
Mm-hmm.
Help! Help! Please help!
What do you need help with, sugar?
We're trapped in here. Let us out, please. Oh, please.
Who trapped you in here?
Oh, the blue lady with the copper hair. Please just let us out. I'm so tired. We want to get out of here. Look, I'll tell you whatever we know. Just please let us out.
Can I roll for insight?
Sure.
16.
With a 16, you can definitely tell they really want out. They're not trying to swindle you whatsoever. You get a real good feeling that they're prisoners in this temple.
Okay. Oh, we'd love to help you, sugar. Is there any type of lock or...
There is, yeah.
Okay.
Well, also, it should be noted that these bars are just made out of bamboo. If you have a sword or two, which it turns out that Jaqib does, cut the bars.
Then perhaps Jaqib could slice and dice.
Jaqib is going to slice and dice for these little people.
Alrighty. Alright, roll that athletics check.
As a tabaxi, it should be noted that we are all athletics. And within that 20, that makes it a 25.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, roll again at disadvantage. No, just kidding. So with with a nat 20, you're able to make a couple of windows on either side. Both of them, I don't know how you do it, but they're actually on rails. So it's like barn doors that you just slide across. And they look rather nice. And if you slide them back in, no one will be able to know the difference that the windows were actually there. Just
That's cool.
And so they get out. They're obviously a little hunched over and everything from just wear and tear of working on the Temple of Storm. They can confirm to you that Piska passed by earlier in a hurry, not even glancing at them. Both heard Piska working on the excavation site briefly, followed by fighting. After that, they heard Piska sing. They believe Piska encountered what they heard on the other side while working to clear the rubble, but don't know why Piska was singing. They point out that if you keep going down the corridor, you're going to see an area that's, you know, somewhat filled with water. The water goes waist high. If you keep going through there, keep turning to like this little hairpin turn to the right, you'll come across where they've been digging with the excavation area. And that's what they're referring to whenever they're talking about Piska and what she's up to. Let me see, one of them, the half elf, surmises that Piska is close to the artifact and hopes she encounters additional obstacles. She advises all of you to please hurry to stop her if that's what you're here for.
Okay.
Oh, I don't want to go in the water.
Okay, with a nat 20, you can come up with a raft with the remaining pieces of bamboo.
Yes.
Does the kitty swim?
As a cat, we always get our way.
All right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're somewhat flexible with the rules around here. We're good.
Love it.
Okay, so... after making the raft in the waist-high water, you move farther into the temple complex. A sound of dripping intensifies. After around 30 feet, you find yourself up to your waist in water, or on the raft water here in this open area. And like the guy said, it's like this hairpin turn to the right, and then it opens up to this other area. This cavern is strewn with rubble, but otherwise empty. And you see up ahead, there's like this huge amount of rubble, and you see the site where they've been excavating through. Now, all of y'all do notice another door as you're making that turn towards there. You do notice another door off to the left. You can see it's a barred entryway. See, what do y'all want to do? Go through the excavation site or try that barred entryway?
I want to go through the doorway. What do you guys want to do?
I'm not sure. You said the barred entryway?
Yeah, like as you come around the hairpin turn, there's a barred entryway. And
as in it's blocked barred, or as in it's an entrance only for bards?
Blocked, not for
Got
bards.
It. Got it.
That's That's what I was trying to figure out. I'm like,
That's racist.
No, that's classist.
Yeah.
Same thing. Everyone discriminates against bards.
I mean, that's not entirely false. if Spook said that he wanted to go through the door, then Winky would agree and just want to go there too.
If it's blocked, it might have something of value.
You're not wrong, sugar.
Alrighty. So in order to remove the bar.
It's just a yodeling bard, and we gotta move him somehow.
Let's see.
It's like that singing bush.
Okay, so first off, yeah, you remove the bar, and the makeshift door slowly opens, and your presence has clearly disturbed something within. You hear a guttural growl akin to that of a crocodile, and the lapping of water that something moves off in the darkness.
I smell something dangerous.
You smell the Tempest Beast from before.
Oh no.
And the best way to describe it are two smaller Tempest Beasts.
Okay.
Would you say that they count as animals?
Let me see. I'm looking at the sheet here, and it says large beast. So I would say yes, I would count them as animals.
I am going to use animal friendship.
Go for it.
Because friendship is rare.
Oh, and I'm going to do it at level 2, which means I can do both of them at the same time.
Okay, you know there's 3 of them, right?
Okay, well, fine.
All right, just saying, dude.
Lulu, use your animal friendship, too. I'm kidding.
I'm going to give Bardic Inspiration to Jakeem.
Okay, let's see. If the beast's intelligence is 4 or higher, the spell fails. Man, it worked. Totally worked.
Woo!
And so what are you telling this creature? I want to hear the audio for this.
Okay. Jakeem is going to say, this one means you no harm. As a matter of fact, we don't want to have anything to do with a confrontation. One, we don't want to kill you because it's not in my best interest, and you wouldn't want to kill us because we taste bad.
Yeah, he's here.
And so you can hear the Tempest Beast, you can hear her thoughts, and she just goes, look, I'm going to tell you what I told my husband outside. Somebody's going to have to help me take care of these kids. They're getting on my last nerve, and I'm just tired of being locked away. All I hear is, Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I want out. Mommy. What about me? What about my needs? Have you seen my deadbeat husband? He likes to sit around his big, scaly butt outside. I need to find him. I need help here. This is a co-parenting family, not a single parenting family with the other parent, quote-unquote, looking for a job every day. Come on.
Jakeem says you should dump his ass.
That's amazing.
Great. Animal divorce court. That's going to be the next one shot.
Oh my God. Can Winky be the judge?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Okay. So you avoid this entire conflict. She looks at you. Honestly, fur just gives me indigestion. Go on, get out of here. If you see that Triton lady, I got a bone to pick with her for getting us in here.
Well, if you show us the way and actually help us out, we could help you with that. I could take her out for you and you can pick all the bones you want. And it feeds your kids.
Yes. Yes, recruit the Tempest Beast.
She looks at you and her head just tilts sideways. We have an accord. Oh, hey, guys, can you pause for a sec?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, beer break. Okay, this is DM Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z on Twitter, with your beer break. Just wanted to say hello to everyone during this very interesting time in our lives. As always, I got to replenish my brew before I get back to the story. In the meantime, I just want to tell everybody, keep your heads up and stay positive. You know, we all got to chip in wherever we can to keep pulling each other up as often as possible. Me personally, I'm an extreme extrovert, so this is really killing me not being able to socialize face to face with other folk. But interestingly enough, I was in the Navy, so I'd be deployed for 6 months at a time. So this is kind of my element still. Anyway, hopefully I can still keep y'all entertained for a while. But for now, I also want to talk about our sponsors. And so, most recently, we had a couple of winners that won a copy of Dungeon Painter Studio. as well as a set of okie-dokie dice. Dungeon Painter Studio is a powerful map design tool for both seasoned map makers and beginner map sketchers. It comes with a lot of features to help you create your very own world maps. And remember that you can also try the online version before you go out and buy the highly affordable full version. Dungeon Painter Studio is available for purchase on Steam. And Okie-Dokie Dice, their passion is to create a huge variety of very special gaming die sets for every player and every game. With their special effects and mind-blowing designs, every set of Okie-Dokie Dice has its own character. Okie-Dokie Dice has the right die set for you. From solid colored sets to metal sets to crazy glow-in-the-dark sets, Okie-Dokie Dice will cover all your needs. Okie-Dokie Dice. They are fun, they are crazy, and they love dice. And lastly, I don't know if any of y'all noticed, there's also a company called Grimfrost. Give them a follow on Twitter. They've worked with Viking Age crafts since the early 1990s. They have historical products, Viking wear products, jewelry, feasting products, grooming products, gym products, Viking wear products, street wear products, including an assortment of Viking games. Go check out their website, grimfrost.com, and give them a follow on Twitter. And the next episode, Christian Eichhorn was nice enough to invite a handful of us to do a playtest of some of his up-and-coming adventures. And so he took us down a 3-session part. We just finished up the second session, so we got a third session coming up. So I'm going to interchange between releasing his adventure as well as some of the previous reviews. So we're going to keep giving you as much content as possible to keep everybody engaged. And so with that, please don't forget to subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcast ear candy. Follow us on Twitter, leave us reviews, and tell your friends about us so we can grow our brand, and we need your help to do that. Well, that's about all I got for this beer break. Thanks again to Kayla for playing along with us, and thank you, Florian Emmerich and JVC Perry, for letting us play this awesome adventure. All right, y'all have a great one. Stay positive, stay healthy, stay engaged. Later. Here, I'm going to just put this on rails very quickly so we can get you to the end here. You're supposed to be able to dig through the remaining of that excavation area. Once you clear through there, finally, after toiling away at the rubble, the last section of broken stone falls away. Suddenly, a skeletal hand grabs at you and a scimitar swings past your head as the skeleton of a long-dead warrior tries to decapitate you.
Ah, not really. I wasn't frightened. Ha ha! Look, I got a free sword.
roll sleight of hand.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Natural 20.
Yeah, you're able to swipe that out of his hand. Just whoosh.
It's like, you can't fool me.
I love it.
Okay, and so let's say you're able to take care of that skeleton right away. Honestly, guys, I had very minimal prep time. I barely began to read about the Shore of Dreams, so all this is new to me too. So let's say you get through that area, you go into the Hall of Old Hydra. So let's see how everybody's... Is everyone's internet okay?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Because in that case, here we go. Ta-da! Mm-hmm. If you look at your monitor, you should be seeing what I see, which is the map.
Yep.
Yep. I got okay. It.
So y'all see the entrance, the top left. Mm-hmm. That's where y'all broke through. If you keep walking through that corridor, you'll see the bamboo prison cell, aka the makeshift raft. Continue through the corridor. You see that big body of water with the hairpin turn to the right. Mm-hmm. You see that barred door over there to the, like in the top left corner there.
Yep.
So then follow that turn down below where you see the two pieces of rubble where you presumably broke through. Follow?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're good?
Yep.
Alrighty. You are stumbling through the rubble and stagnant water. You find yourself in a large man-made chamber. The walls are lined with a fresco that depicts humans riding giant sharks across breaking tsunamis. Hanging on the walls are various weapons and shields that must have belonged to the original inhabitants of this place. Strewn within the room are toppled and broken pews lying lower than the rest of the room. Covered in a myriad of barnacles, standing guard and blocking the back of the room behind an altar is a reredos depicting a giant wave that seems to come crashing into this room. What do y'all want to do?
Wait, there's a wave crashing in on us right now?
No. If you look in that round room, that ginormous round room, if you look over on the left side, it looks like a almost semicircle broken wall. That's actually the waves right there. It's like a wave statue.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's in the center there?
That's a good question. Let's find out.
Like, I assume if we can see that, then we can probably see what's in the center that looks like it's the giant. I do see the wave thing. Is this in relation to the cult of crashing wave?
Let's do a religion check or history check.
You said history?
Yes, or religion, your choice.
They're the same modifier. That's an 18.
Okay, yes, they are part of the cult of the crushing wave.
Cool.
And I'm trying to see what that middle thing is there.
Bet you anything, it's a gnarly altar.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like. That's why Winky would want to go up to it, like walk up to it and check it out.
Yeah, that's the altar.
Like, so to see if there's any inscriptions, any text, symbols, anything.
Okay, going up to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can roll an investigation check.
Okay, that's a soft 20.
That's a natural 20 for Spook.
Oh, and wow. Ducky got a 16.
Hell yeah. We all know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Spook wants treasure, so he's probably looking really hard.
Okay, so let's do this. From behind the reredos is a large wooden trunk covered with barnacles and beginning to rot. You can identify the wave emerging from the reredos as Old Hydra. Let me see, that trunk that's behind the waves there. We'll say that you're able to break through it with ease. Mm-hmm. You find two potions of healing, three vials of antitoxins, a potion of water breathing, a tidal wave spell scroll, a wall of water spell scroll, a shape water spell scroll, and a cloak of the manta ray, as well as a handful of other non-magical scrolls containing religious texts about the cult of the crushing wave.
What does cloak of the manta ray do?
Yeah.
Now, with some of those other religious scrolls, you do find out that, so while the cloak is embroidered with the insignia of the cult of the crushing wave, most of it is scratched off. You see, yeah, like I said, you can identify that wave as Old Hydra. You find that same information on these scrolls. And checking around there, you reveal the occasional bubble arising from its base and strange currents in the water. You check the reredos, and it allows a character to find a small pearl. I guess that would be Spook. You find a small pearl occupying a socket in the upper part of the wave emerging from the reredos and an empty socket next to it. So you see where there's one socket that already has a pearl and another empty one.
So he takes out a pearl that looks about the same size and sticks it in the socket.
There is a path that's revealed when you do that, and you pop up in this antechamber here.
Mm-hmm. Oh. What's on the left side? It looks like debris or rubble, and then there's like a purple box or square on the left side. What are all those things over there?
Yes. So let me describe what happens here. You dive down into the submerged tunnel, feeling your way along the slimy walls until it begins to turn upwards. Swimming up, you break the surface of the water in a room with countless shelves filled with scrolls and books surrounding a table, buried in the scrolls that spilled from the shelves onto the table. Farther into the room, you see more signs of a cave-in. So from here, you see a skeleton that's covered under some scriptures, like those that you've already encountered. It's wearing a torn cloak of the manta ray, you see with an embroidered sign of the cult of the crushing wave on the back. Its skull seems to be cracked. Let me see, you study the scrolls and scriptures, and they reveal that while the cult of the crushing wave operated from this island, it had come under attack. Let me see, you find a rotted treasure box. Winky, that would be you. Partially smashed open and covered in barnacles. It contains a wealth of old coins, tarnished and oxidized from decades spent in the damp, as well as other valuable objects. Collectively, y'all find 500 gold pieces worth of assorted coins, not usable in shops, but could be sold to collectors or blacksmith for melting down.
Mm-hmm.
Four silver goblets engraved with the symbol of the cult of the crushing wave and encrusted with sapphires worth 750 gold each. A pouch of six azurite stones worth 10 gold pieces each. A crystal decanter worth 50 gold pieces, six bottles of fine wine worth 10 gold each.
Ooh, Winky takes all of those.
Let me see. In one part of the room, y'all see a tunnel blocked by several caved-in boulders. It could take months to clear them to go deeper into the temple. So that's pretty much all you find here.
So we found scrolls in the other area, right? And they were like text about the cult, correct?
Yes.
One was a spell, wasn't it?
There were some spell scrolls, but then there were also scrolls that just had, like, information about the cult.
Correct.
Could Winky read some of those and see if she can see what this cult is about, what their ideals are, what their goals are as a cult, so that she kind of gets an idea of like what the purpose of this Piska person is and everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What will you read about in those scrolls is something about an ancient tome. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's roll a history check.
For everyone, right?
Oh, no. No, just Winky.
Oh, okay.
It's a 15.
Okay. With a 15, it takes you a couple of tries to read, but you can piece together crown, pearls, and black. Just because this is a bit more of an archaic kind of language.
Right.
And you know that a lot of this is just based on being near the realm of Karatur, which is more, I guess, essentially like an Eastern culture type of influence. Mm-hmm. A culmination of all that together. So it's a little bit, for lack of a better word, it's a little bit fishy.
Pun intended.
Right. Yeah. And so the cult of the crushing wave is just one of those religions from this culture that was from years past. And you can tell that this crown that you keep seeing over and over again, something has to do with power behind it. And that's about all you can gather.
Okay. Have I seen it before? As in like before, you know, all of these entering here, do I recognize it? Like was Piska wearing it or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
Or not yet.
So it might be a relic or like something in here.
Yeah. I'm trying to give you as much as I possibly can without giving you everything I possibly can.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
No worries. You're good. Okay, so y'all going back to the other big room?
Yeah, we took the treasure. Well, yeah, we took some treasure.
I'm so happy right now.
Me too. Would you guys like some wine? We've been going through so much today.
Let's go have a picnic outside.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Ah, yes, Tabaxi would love a drink. And then we kill the fish girl.
All right. I like the way that we think, you guys. So Winky will open up one of the bottles of wine that she found in there. And with the, were they goblets, you said?
Yeah, somewhat goblets. What were they? They were
whatever decanter. Drinking vessel, decanter that we found. She'll pour a generous amount for each of them.
Awesome.
To kill in this bitch.
Yeah, let's have sushi.
Damn.
I do love sushi.
All right, everybody roll an acrobatics check.
Acrobatics?
Or no, let's make it a dexterity save. Let's say a dexterity save.
Okay.
Do you know who this one is?
Yeah, Winky rolled a 26.
Okay.
It's going to be a 14 for Spook.
Okay. Yep, this one got a 25.
Okay, so with that, I would say that there's a lot of algae, so it's a little bit slippery around here when you're taking your drink, and you're all in the back of that big room, right?
Yeah, back before we got into that little antechamber, yeah.
Okay, so when y'all do Spook, you slip a little bit, but you catch yourself, and when you do, you hit the locking mechanism that then opens up the doors to the final chamber, which is right behind that stone wave area.
I didn't do it. Okay, maybe
in typical Spook fashion.
Yeah.
I didn't do it, guys. I didn't break it.
As the doors open, you see this sign above the door say, "All who oppose the dark tide will drown." So this crystalline disc begins to glow a bright blue and liquefy in a gelatinous way, though not spilling on the floor. Only painting the sign of the cult of the crushing wave within the liquid will open the door, which y'all magically do. Again, just trying to bypass everything to kind of start wrapping everything up. As the door swings open, it reveals a chamber devoid of furnishings or decorations. Rising from the center of the room is an enormous conch shell of vibrant pinks and blues. The opening of the shell is large enough for a human to enter and is engraved with flowing motifs. Growing around the base of the conch are handfuls of blue crystals that glow with a pale blue light shimmering off the walls and ceiling. With the rippling water and dancing lights, the whole cave seems submerged.
Spook is awestruck.
Oh! Wow, what a beautiful place. Can Winky tell if there's like magic coming from anything in this room?
Do you have a detect magic spell?
I do. I think that I did. Give me 1 second.
Well, based on what I can see, I'd say you do have that.
Okay, cool. Then I do. Then I shall cast detect magic.
Very good. Alrighty. So, detect magic. You see an aura of magic around the entire room.
Okay. Can I detect if it's like a good aura or like an evil aura?
Is there one for neutral?
Sure. Why not?
Then yes, neutral it is.
I think Winky's gonna want to start stepping towards the center, like very carefully though.
Okay.
Not wanting to touch anything yet. She just kind of wants to get a little closer.
Okay. And let's see, what all treasure did you say you got? You got all the treasure from the other room, is that correct?
Yeah, we probably split it three ways to carry as much as possible, if not all.
Okay. And okay, so with that, y'all also walk to... Okay, so here's what's happening, is that there's a trap that activates as soon as any person not bearing an insignia of the Cult of the Crushing Wave gets within 25 feet of the conch shell. But if y'all split all the treasure amongst each other, then that means each of you already has one of the robes that has their insignia on there.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't set off the trap. It's a magical trap. This whole place is one ginormous magical trap.
Phew, thank God.
So let's see, you're walking.
Okay, but what about the Tempest Beast and my Lulu?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because there were three, and then the fourth one that was in the other chamber, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, okay. You know, if you're holding the party cup, Winky, then you can give your cloak to Lulu.
I will gladly give my cloak to Lulu.
Aw, it's so cute. All
right, with that, then Winky is holding the Cult of the Crushing Wave pimp cup in her hand.
Yeah.
Great, that just became the symbol for this episode. I love that. Oh my goodness, now I gotta get you like a grill and everything for your character. Okay, and y'all are walking away from the door. Everybody do a dexterity save throw.
That would be a 21.
Alright, you save.
20 math is really hard. Is that 24? Yeah, 24.
Okay.
26 for Spook.
Oh, damn, guys.
I know, we're good today.
All right, so then thunderous slam. The door of the vault slams shut, emitting a thunderous boom. Any creature in the doorway must succeed in a DC 18 dexterity saving throw or take 2d6 bludgeoning damage and be forced inside the room. So I rolled 2d6, I got a 10, so half that is 5. Both the four of you get 5 points of bludgeoning damage and your feet are planted in place. Boom! And it's just like slow motion in an action flick as the explosion goes off behind you. Let me see. You see the vaulted ceiling of the room suddenly fills with a wrathful storm, and Storm Sphere is casted in this room. Spell save DC 16 from everybody.
Wait, what was that?
You gotta roll a spell save of DC 16.
Oh, this one did not get that. You only got half of that.
Ooh.
Going to hell.
I don't think I have anything like that for Spook.
Oh, no, you're just doing a spell save roll. Just a d20.
Dang it. He didn't want to roll on side.
Yeah, Winky rolled a 6.
Spook got an 11.
Oh, man. Okay.
Nah, not so lucky this time around.
Wait a minute. Aren't y'all lucky?
I'm lucky.
Yes, we sure are.
Yeah.
That was my better roll. The other one was a 2.
Same.
Oh, okay. So what'd y'all get?
11.
6.
Ouch. Okay. So this one's going to hurt. Okay. Yeah. So everybody gets 10 points of lightning damage.
Ouch.
Yes. Spiraling out of the tempest come two storm mephits that attack y'all. So now you're going to have storm mephits.
Winky is going to cast a first level thunder wave towards them. The creature needs to make a constitution saving throw.
Ooh, okay. That's a 12 and a 6.
Okay, so you failed. Or they failed, rather. So that's going to be 2d8 each worth of thunder damage.
Oh, I'm going to eat it. All right.
1, 2. That's a 6. On one creature, and a 5 on the other.
Ooh, wow. Okay, they're both looking pretty bad, but they're hanging in there. However, you did fling them across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Okay, we got about 4 minutes left. Is everybody doing okay on time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So I will say this. On the other side of the room, you see that Triton woman.
Great. Fantastic.
And so, yeah, Pisca Alorsath. Let me see. She decides to go for that conch as well.
As she goes for that conch, could I cast Polymorph on her?
No, because you already used your move for the two mephits.
Okay.
She steps towards the conch, and the thundering squall does not set off because she too is wearing an emblem of the Cult of the Crushing Wave, and she decides to cast Dispel Magic. Oh no, correction. No, she's focused on doing an Arcana check. Rolled a 19. Okay, so the Whirling Tempest is kind of dispersed a little bit. All right, now Spook, Jakeeb, what do y'all want to do?
Spook doesn't want to really do hand-to-hand combat in this kind of territory because he is only 3 feet high. So he'd have to be really creative about it. So if someone's got a better plan, he's just going to throw his boomerang at her.
All right.
So that's 16.
That hits.
Yay!
All right. Die 4. So 5, 6, 6 points hit and then damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, 11.
Okay. Whoa, that's a pretty big hit.
It's a big boomerang. I don't know.
You just ride it on windy days.
Whee! And there's a tempest. And Jakeeb, you're next.
You see, and this is the part where Jakeeb is a very nice tabaxi because he doesn't have to do anything, although he very much wants to, because we still have 3 tempest beasts on our side, and I command them to, you know, feast on the fish girl.
Okay, so you do that, and the 3 tempest beasts make their way out of that chamber all the way back in the near the beginning of the cave.
But we had an accord!
Well, yeah. They're not eating you.
They were going to eat her. Okay.
So, all right. So then they'll probably be there in about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In about 8 turns, they'll make it into the chamber itself. So they're on their way.
Oh, we gotta kill this time.
You know, this is the part where this is basically what D&D and Big D is. All the special guests get all the special treatment, so you should be nice, and I'm going the one that gets the short end.
Oh no!
All right. But how about this, Jake? How about this? How about I say that that was your bonus action? You'll still have your full action that you can do.
There we go.
That's fine.
I will allow it, he says.
So what I am going to do is I am going to cast Hunter's Mark.
Hell yeah.
Yes, Hunter's Mark is always nice.
Very nice.
Very nice indeed. And so basically what that means is it's, you know, 1d6 extra damage for this one in particular. And because I have a second attack, I am going to draw my bow, and I am going to take a shot. Fancy little shot. And so with that, does a 19 hit?
19 does hit.
19 does hit. Very well.
And so very nice.
The Tabaxi is pleased. He's very happy with himself. That is going to be a 4 plus 3, so that's going to be 7, and then add 1d6 to that. Oh my god, that's going to be 14. 14 damage!
Alright. 14. And how much of that was the
Hunter's Mark.
Yeah, the Hunter's Mark?
6.
Okay, so then let's reduce that down to 8, because she decided to cast a counterspell for your Hunter's Mark.
It doesn't work that way! Yes, it does. Okay.
Yes, it does. Yes, okay.
Mwah, mwah.
All right, next up is, I'm sorry, was that it? Yeah, that was it. You already had your bonus. Okay, next up is Winky.
Okay, Winky is pissed. Winky wants to take this bitch out once and for all.
Uh-oh.
And so she is going to do a 4th level psionic blast cone, which is a 30-foot cone on top of the, like, where she is, which is at the conch, right? The conch shell?
Yeah, she's headed for the conch shell.
Great. So wherever she is that 30-foot cone, and she needs to make a dex saving throw.
Okay. Hey, is Dispel Magic a thing?
Dispel
magic?
So. It is a thing, but it's not, it's an instantaneous spell. Mm-hmm. So like it wouldn't be dispelling what I'm about to cast, I don't think. Because it's not a concentration where it lasts for a bit, if that makes sense.
So your spell is a instantaneous spell?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm reading here. Choose one creature, object, or magical effect within range. Any spell of third level or lower on the target end. Let me see. On the target ends. And you said at what level?
Fourth.
Okay, so then she can bump that up to a fourth level spell. And so, yeah, you go to cast the cone, and then she immediately counters it with the spell magic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like this Gwen. She's awesome.
It sounds to Jakib like we're just going to have to get physical here.
All right. And next up is Piska. And she's basically had it enough with everybody and everything. She doesn't know who y'all are. Like, who the hell are you three anyway? And that little cat thing you have. She's tired of this. So she decides to cast a dimension door on right in front of her and then towards the conch. And as soon as she casts Dimension Door, she reaches through the door and goes directly to where the conch is and grabs the crown of black pearls. And with a bonus action, she now puts this sucker on.
Well, that's not good.
And when she does, the whole place starts to erupt. And y'all ever seen Little Mermaid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where Ursula grabs a hold of King Triton's crown and his trident, and she bites her lip and just starts...
Yeah.
That's what's going on right now.
Oh, God.
And immediately, she just disappears.
Oh, no.
And the next thing you hear is a whole ton of thunder and clashing and... If you begin to make your way out of the cavern, you see this huge tempest start to form. And it's not just one, it's several storms, several tsunamis forming around the island.
Fantastic.
What do y'all want
to
do?
Are we going to be able to have that picnic? Spook feels a little outclassed right now.
So does Winky.
Jackie?
Here you go.
So, would you say that she has becomes the tempest, or she's just conjuring the tempest?
Both.
Both. So that would basically make her an elemental now, wouldn't it?
No, not necessarily. This is all part of the religion from the Crown of Black Pearls.
What are you trying to plan, Jakib?
Well, because my creature of choice is elementals.
Oh. Damn, dude, too bad. No, this is all like a religious thing.
Son of a bitch.
And with that, y'all have failed to stop her. She has now the crown of black pearls.
And everyone dies.
Not necessarily. Retreat is always an option. And I think I'm going to end it right there.
Wow.
Perfect.
Oh, great. So it looks like we're going to have a part two to this. Now Kayla has to come back.
Yep.
Oh, darn.
Oh, goodness. I was having a lot of fun with this. I felt like a cat playing with a mouse. That was really good, guys. I really had a lot of fun.
Yay.
Yeah, I really had a lot of fun screwing everybody over there at the end.
Yeah, she's a bitch. Winky really wants to get her.
Now really want to eat her in the worst way possible.
Yeah. I do have cooking utensils. Like, literally after we kill her, we can chop her up and cook her up and eat her.
Close to my character sheet. What did I have? Oh, I have thieves' tools. Never mind. Darn it.
That's okay. There's plenty for all. Winky would make it for all of her friends.
Very cool.
I know I can tenderize her pretty good with flurry of blows.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's a picture of who you were battling.
I'm scared. Yeah. This bitch.
Oh yeah, I totally eat her anytime. Yeah.
Phrasing.
Hey, 21st century, ain't no shame in that game. It's all right.
Winky's also gonna want to like steal the kimono off of her body and tailor it to her size. Like,
well, if there's enough, we're both halflings, so why don't we just cut it in half and
yes,
yeah.
We would just need to find a tailor because Winky would like. fucked it up. 1,000%.
Yeah, just give it to Lulu.
Meow. There we go.
Lulu can do anything.
Yeah. Okay, guys, thank you so much for playing. We played through The Shore of Dreams, written by Florian Emmerich and JVC Perry, an adventure for 5th to 7th level characters. Awesome.
You know what, next character I make is just good. Well, there's no spell slots. It's just all going to be Dispel.
Dispel.
Just all Dispel of varying levels.
Dispel, counterspell.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to have to come up with some really good wordplay jokes, some puns for all this.
So what I'm hearing is that there's going to be 3 bards coming at Pisgah next time, huh?
Probably. I mean, it looks like Winky's going to have to bring the charm instead of trying to magic her, because she won't let me do anything.
So if Winky's going to be in charge, will that be Captain Winky?
Oh my god, please? Yes.
Sure thing. All right, cool.
Technically, it's aquatic, so it should totally be Admiral.
Admiral? No. What's the other one? Commodore.
Commodore Winky.
That's hilarious.
Very cool. Oh, thanks, guys, again. And we'll go ahead and stop it and stop the recording now. But we'll do this again next time for sure. Again, Kayla, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It was a pleasure. It was a blast. And can't wait to have you back on our show.
Yay. Thank you again so much. I can't wait to come back.
Yay.
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 All right, everyone. Have a good day.
You too.
Yep. I got to go back to work after this.
All right. See y'all next time.
All right. Yep. Bye.
Until next time.